Today's first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even to the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 98, found in your handout or on page 727 of the Red Prayer Book. And we'll read the psalm together. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. With his right hand and his holy arm, he has won for himself the victory. The Lord has made known his victory. His righteousness he has openly shown in the sight of the nations. He remembers his mercy and faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout with joy before the King, the Lord. Let the sea make a noise and all that is in it, the lands and those who dwell therein. Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord, when he comes to judge the earth. In righteousness shall he judge the world, and all the people with equity. The epistle for today is from the first letter of John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands, so that you may love one another." The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I do not call you servants any longer. I have called you friends. Gospel means good news, but how much good news can we stand, especially if the good news isn't just for us, if it's about us? Today's gospel lesson is both good news for us and good news about us. And we're so used to bad news about us, so constantly berated by the voice of a harsh inner critic, the voice that says, you are too much this way, not enough that way, try harder, work more, be better. We're so used to bad news about ourselves that good news can be hard to hear. Well, today's lesson is about our friendship with God. Many of us think of God first and foremost as a judge looking down on us, deciding whether to declare us guilty or not. Or for others, God is a drill sergeant constantly demanding, driving, pushing us towards some greater perfection. But Christians see God in the face of Jesus, and Jesus shows us a very different way to connect with God. He calls us friends. Actually, the original word in this text is philos. It is the noun form of a Greek verb that means love. Raymond Brown, the all-time greatest scholar of John's Gospel, translates this as, my beloved. I no longer call you servants. I call you my beloved. Maybe a good translation would be my beloved friend. There is no one-up position in this relationship. Jesus has stepped onto our level to look us in the eye. We may want to call God our higher power, but there can't be much intimacy in a relationship of hierarchy and power. I wonder if God got tired of being just powerful. I wonder if God got lonely. The Bible says God wants friends. And Jesus does not look for a relationship of subservience. He says explicitly, I no longer call you servants. He wants intimacy, trust, mutual respect. I call you my beloved friend. I invite you to call to mind a good friend that you have had. And what made that relationship such a good friendship? Trust, caring, respect, going both ways, right? Jesus wants all those things in our relationship with him, and he has them to offer us. But the one thing that he puts in boldface, underlined with an exclamation point, is joy. Friends enjoy each other. We enjoy watching our friend be who he or she is. Friends are enjoyable, and our friends enjoy us back. Friends delight in who we are, and that makes us look at ourselves differently, at least in that moment. And that's what Jesus is saying here. God enjoys us. God delights in who we are. Now, other people may not be too impressed. Our harsh inner critic may not have a good word to say. But in the face of all that, God really likes us. Isaiah wrote, you shall be called, my delight is in her, for the Lord delights in you. I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You know, Jesus used this parable about our relationship with God, and I want to look at it to see if we have been reading it right. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has to buy that field. Now, how do we understand that? We are the man who sells all he has for the treasure, which is our relationship with God, right? Because God is so important. I'm not so sure that's what Jesus was on about. Jesus got most of his material from Isaiah. And look what it says in Isaiah. I am the Lord your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Footnote, Ethiopia, Egypt, and Seba were the three richest countries in the world in Isaiah's time. The text goes on. I give all this because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give nations in exchange for your life. Now go back and look at that story Jesus told, the one with the treasure. It looks like we are the treasure. It looks like God who finds us. And in God's joy, God gives all God has for a relationship with us. God enjoys who we are. That's what Jesus means when he says, as the Father loved me, so I have loved you. This isn't a philanthropist pity for a beggar. It's appreciation. It's joy. It's delight. That's how God feels about you. And God vulnerably hopes that you will love God. And that would be a win-win proposition. Because being in love with God is the best experience we could ever hope for. Isaiah says, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. Because, you see, everything God created is an expression of God's self. Everything that exists because God allows it to exist expresses God. And loving God then changes our experience of everything. As the collect says, imagine seeing God throughout the world and then enjoying God as a friend. That's when we ride upon the heights of the earth. This perspective, one way to get this is to look at it from the other side. This perspective is the exact opposite of what Albert Camus described in his book, The Stranger. Camus saw us as strangers lost in an impersonal cold universe. In his classic novel, the main character, while awaiting execution after having been found guilty of something, says, gazing into the dark sky spangled with its signs and stars, I laid my heart open to the benign indifference of the universe, to feel it so like myself. People who experience the universe as cold and indifferent become cold and indifferent themselves. But as today's lessons show us, those who accept the friendship of God become friends of each other, become friends of the whole creation. So if we want to ride upon the heights of the earth, where do we begin? We take a look at Jesus and dare to trust that he enjoys us and longs vulnerably for us to enjoy him. Then we accept his judgment of us as the last judgment, the final word, the judgment that reverses all the other judgments. What your mama and daddy said, what your friends say, what your enemies say, what your boss says, all of that is overturned by a higher court. Forget what the kids in high school said. Forget your boss. Forget the ones who broke up with you. Forget your own self-judgment. Jesus calls you his beloved friend. Trust that. And from that point on, the path to joy is short and straight. Jesus said, I have told you of my love for you, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be perfect. Amen.